Turn your Bibles to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. We'll start in verse number 31. I want to thank Pastor for having me again, and always good to be with him and Brother Stephen and so many here in this church. I always enjoy coming, and I never dreamed I would be coming here preaching in Michigan. I refer to you down home as Nineveh. That's where you're going to preach, Nineveh. That's where I'm going. But I never dreamed that I would be coming this way, but I'm always thankful when I do. And I mean this, I think I told Pastor this, but your church, and it's crazy to say this, but your church reminds me more of what heaven will be like than any church that I'm in. And what I mean by that is the diversity of it and the different backgrounds and different areas of life and all different, you know what I mean, all different abilities and capabilities and all that. And it's just neat to go into church and see all different types of people. That's what heaven will be, you know that, right? All different types of people. And it's just neat to see. A lot of places you go in, it's everybody's the same. I don't want a room full of me, that's for sure. Not at all, but don't you amen that. But I don't at all, but it's just neat. It's just refreshing to walk into a place that people from all different backgrounds, and I've been really blessed by it. I always am when I come, so... Thank you for having me. I usually wear my Buckeye tie on the last night after the offerings have been collected, and I usually do that the last night, so some of you have already said you can't really look at me tonight, as if it was ever easy to look at me. Let's just get real, and let's just keep that real. But here in a few weeks, well, I hope we can all get along here after a few weeks here, and there'll be a game coming up, but I'm sure we'll be talking on Facebook, and I'll be in my beanbag. And my magic bean bag, and hopefully it'll help us out this year. I think we're going to need some help. But many of you I'm friends with on Facebook, and if you request me on that, my Facebook is 98% sarcasm, and that's what it is. It's the other 2% is my Emma. That's her life. I kind of post her life on there. So if you ever need to just shoot a prayer request to me or talk or anything like that, I sure want to keep in touch with you. And all that for at least 2 weeks. I'll have all kinds of requests if Michigan wins, won't I? I'll have all kinds of them. So, thank you for having me. John chapter number 13. I know I'm dealing with short attention spans tonight, and the kids are in here too. But that's the truth, isn't it? So I'm going to I'll speak fast to you tonight and share something with you that Lord put on my heart that I really want you to get, and about following Jesus. John 13, verse number 31. If you're there, say, I got it. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down my life for thy sake, thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I want to call this tonight green light, red light. Green light, red light. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for this place. We thank you, Lord, for these folks that have gathered here tonight around your word. God, that's what we're gathered around. it's central here at this place, and I thank you for it. So God, I pray tonight as your word goes out, Father, that we will understand the true meaning of the gospel and what it means, what Christ did for us, and that we're incapable of doing ourselves. So I pray tonight, God, you will draw us to yourself, understanding, Lord, that you went before us, a place that we weren't qualified to go. You gladly went. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you would speak through it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've played it or not, but it's red light, green light. You've played that game before? You've played that game before? Good. So it's red light, it's green light, red light, green light. Yeah, back in the day before you were attached to your phone and iPad, you would go out and you would play in the yard and you would, I don't know, pick up a stick or something and make a baseball bat or whatever, and you would play, we would play red light, green light. Someone would stand out in front, and you would put somebody back, maybe back there, and you would say, green light. When you'd say green light, they would run. They would go. And then you'd say red light, and they would stop. Now, I'm a basketball coach and a serious one at that. I coach kids upward league. I was telling Pastor today, they don't keep score, but Coach Ryan does. No sense in playing a game if you don't keep score, amen? So I keep score, and I tell them, you can have your little juice and enjoy it, but we're losers. That's what we are. And you can think you're a winner, you can think we're undefeated, but those are the champs kids over there. But that's partly what's wrong with America. Amen. We have stopped keeping score for children's ball. I played Little League. Let me just let out some stuff here. I played Little League and we won two games in my Little League career, and my sister pitched both of the games. My sister was the best pitcher in our Little League. I was Hope Massey's brother for years. That's what I was. So I'm out from under that shadow now. But anyway, the point is we would play red light, we would play green light is what we do. So when I coach basketball now, when I'm playing it sometimes, we'll just hold up the signs and it'll teach them to look up when they dribble. And so they'll be dribbling and you'll say, do this, and they'll come and you'll do this, and the ball will bounce on their foot and roll. Go get that. And it'll be red light and they'll stop. And so what you're trying to teach them to do is to stop and to go and then to stop and to go. And that's what red light, green light is. It's this idea of knowing when to stop and knowing when it's okay to go. I'm so confused by your flashing yellow lights in this town. I don't know what to do. Do I turn left? I don't know. Seems like everywhere you go, you turn left here. And you're always making the U-turn. Back where I'm from, you can't do that. It's just wrong. You can't. But it seems like, do I go ask Pastor Tracy, the flashing yellow light, is that, because we had one back in our town. Our town is so small, we call the stoplight the light. That's what we call it. And it went from red to yellow to green, then from green to yellow to red. And no one knew when it was yellow on all four sides, who was supposed to go? So we like to define it, don't we? Red and green. We like to know, when can I go, and when should I stop? You say, well, what does this have to do with what we've been talking about? Well, all week as we think about following Jesus, you'll see all throughout the New Testament, it's been like green light, green light. Jesus would walk up to these people and say, green light. There was one time when they were out on a boat, and it was storming, and Jesus was walking on H2O. You can't walk on H2O. Jesus was walking on H2O, and Peter said, it's Peter's idea to walk on H2O. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Bid me to come to you on the water. You know what Jesus basically said? Green light. And then Peter's like, oh. Right? You ever prayed about something? You're like, should I, Lord? And he's like, yeah. And you're like, oh. Maybe I'll talk to someone else. And so the idea was, I'm going to go now. And so all throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus, people would come to him, and he'd say, okay, green light, come on, follow me. And maybe that's what you think of your life right now. Jesus is like, come on, follow me, green light. You got a green light, come follow me. And then all of a sudden, when you get to this part of the Scripture, all of a sudden Jesus is talking about following, and all of a sudden he says, red light. What's the red light for? Well, the red light, we'll find Peter is in a place where he's thinking, what can I do for God? What can I do for God on my own? Jesus says to the group, you can't come. You can't follow me here. Yeah, you get a red light. Now, why do they get a red light? What's the point of giving them a red light now? Because why would you talk anybody out of following? Why would you talk anybody out of going? Well, the question would be then, Simon Peter actually asked the question in verse number 36, because Jesus is talking about going somewhere, and Peter asked the obvious question, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going to go? The context tells us that it's the night of the betrayal, that he's going to die the next day. And on the surface, Jesus is saying, you can't die with me tomorrow. You will later, but not now. But deeper than that, Jesus is speaking more than just death. He's speaking of resurrection, and he's speaking of ascension. He's speaking of everything. The disciples were capable of dying, but they wasn't capable of resurrecting. And so the deeper point would be, number one, that Jesus is going on a journey of self-sacrifice. A journey of self-sacrifice, because right before this, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, I have to wash your feet, because you'll have no part of me if I don't. So Jesus actually goes through and washes all the disciples' feet, even Judas's feet. He washes their feet, and Jesus is actually talking to them about going on a journey of self-sacrifice. So he says, I've got a green light to go where you don't have a green light to go, because I'm going to go where I'm qualified to go. It is a journey of self-sacrifice. Jesus is going to go and sacrifice himself is what's going to happen. And Peter is confused by the fact that he gets a red light when Jesus, up until this point, has always given him greens. And it's frustrating, isn't it, when you get all these green lights and then, right, and you time them, don't you? And sometimes even spiritually, we try to time it. I'm going to get a green light here. It's going to be good. And God's like, and Jesus is like, red light. And what we have here is Jesus telling the boys, he's saying, you can't go now. Right now you got red light. Now what's that? It's a picture of self-sacrifice. Jesus is going on a journey, number two, to glorify the Father. In obedience to God, he will accomplish God's plan. This is something, hear me, church, this is something only he could do. Only he could do. The only life that really pleases God is his own life. And that's the life of Jesus Christ. The only way he can be pleased with any life other than that is because he was pleased with that one. The Bible says that God shall provide himself a sacrifice or a lamb. So he literally provided himself. So Jesus was the only one capable of going this way because his life was his. He actually owned his life. You don't own yours. Did you know that? The Bible says you are not your own. You're bought with a price. So Jesus actually owned his life. The Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I are going to obey death one day. But Jesus had to turn himself into death. He had to turn himself over to death and make himself obedient unto death. So you and I, we are going to give our lives, we are going to die one day because of sin. Sin, that's why we don't belong to ourselves, because we're bought. How do we know we have no control over the end? That's how we know. We have no control. So Jesus never sinned, so his life was his. Now think about this. Jesus says, okay, he's talking about follow. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. He's like, green light, green light, green light, green light. Then all of a sudden he talks about glorifying the Father and the Father being glorified in him and all this other crazy stuff. And Peter's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Where are you going? Now watch this, how he says this. Where are you going? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. What's that? Now? Can't follow me now. Why? Now Peter wants to press. Watch what Peter does. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay my life down. Now, so now, but the truth is, he doesn't have the ability, but hear me, Christians, he doesn't have the ability to follow. And number two, Peter doesn't have the right to go where Jesus is about to go. He doesn't have the right. Well, where's he going? Listen, spoiler alert, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to the cross. Jesus is going to die. Jesus is going to die and glorify God with his death, and Jesus is going to be buried, and he's going to resurrect, and all that's going to happen. So he's telling the boys, you got a red light here, guys. Now I want you to watch this and watch how this happens in the life of Peter and how it even happens in our own lives, because Peter, it's not possible that Peter can because of what's in you, Peter, because Peter is certain of himself, and sometimes we are too, aren't we? The difference is we don't say it out loud. Peter says, everyone will leave you, Lord, but not me. Peter, you may not betray, but, and so the idea is Peter says, watch this. He says, I will lay down my life for you. What do you mean I can't follow? These guys may not be able to follow. You might give these guys red lights, but not me, Lord. You got to give me a green light. So Jesus says in verse number 38, he says, you going to die for me, Pete? Now listen, if Jesus came to you and said, the rest of this year, you're going to deny that you even know me three times. Think about that. Imagine Jesus comes to you and says, listen, we got to talk. In the next month and a half, you're going to deny you even know me to somebody three times. That would crush you, wouldn't it? Would it crush you? He told Peter he was going to do that before breakfast. Basically, Peter, before you eat your Fruity Pebbles in the morning, you ought to eat Fruity Pebbles, they're good for you. Before you eat your Fruity Pebbles in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. This is the guy who just said, I will die for you. Jesus says, you'll die for me? Oh, by the way, you're going to deny you even know me before we even get up in the morning. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter was not Judas. He was genuine. He would repent. He would genuinely repent, but he continued to get in his own way. Peter was always getting in his own way. But what I want you to see in verse number 37 says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Here's what I want to get us to. Peter actually reversed the gospel. He reversed the gospel. You can write that in your Bible, reverse gospel by verse number 37, because Peter talked about what he was going to do for Jesus. And our salvation is not in what we can do for him. Our salvation is in what he has done for us. We have reversed the gospel is what we've done. When we try to think, well, I'm going to do it myself, and we can stand in a group of people, and we can say, no, they might have red lights, but not me. I can get myself there, and I'm a good person, and when God knows my life, and I do good things, and I come to church, and I, you know what you're doing? You're making it about what you've done. And the truth is, you have a red light, and so do I. And so Peter reverses the gospel and says, I will die for you. But the gospel is that Jesus is going to die for him and for me. Amen? He's going to die for me. So if we're not careful, this church thing can become more of what we're doing for Jesus rather than what Jesus has done for us. If we're not careful, this ministry thing can be more about what we're doing for him and less about what he has done for us. Jesus is saying, you will follow me later. Peter missed that. In every sense of the journey that Jesus was about to go on, Peter would eventually go on. But not before Jesus went. Why is that important? Because it's a footnote in history Jesus gives to Peter. He says, one day, Pete, you're going to be willing, but you're not going to be willing before I go. What does all that mean for my life, Ryan? What all that means for those of us who are here tonight who have not received what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, and we think we're just getting a green light to heaven, listen, the Bible says it is a glaring red. It's a glaring red. And it's red because there's nothing that we can do. Here is a guy who said, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me to a middle school girl. And that's exactly what he did. Three times to a middle school girl, to a maid, Peter cursed and said, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. And he said he was willing to die for Jesus. He wasn't, was he? But Jesus said, you can't follow me now, but you will later. What he's saying is the Spirit's going to come and he's going to give you power and one day you're going to have a green light, Pete, and you're going to go through this and you're going to die. You're going to go through the death, the burial and resurrection, but you're not going to do it until I do it. Listen, church, let's glory in what Christ has done for us. Not what we have done for him, but what he has done for us. Let's not keep tabs on how many hours we're logging. Let's praise him that he has came and did the work for us on our behalf. The only reason we have a green light is because Jesus gave us the red light and said, stop, you can't go this far. And then he went ahead of us, and then he took the pain. He took the punishment. He took the cross. They wasn't qualified to go there. And that's why he gave them a red light. Listen, you're not qualified to go there. You see, without him, there is no resurrection. Without him, there is no ascension. Without him, it's just death. It's just death. It's just after this, it is appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So what he's actually showing them is my confidence can't be in what I'm doing for Jesus, but in what he did for me. Young person, wrap your mind around that as quickly as you can. Your Christianity is not based upon what you do for him. It is based upon what he has done for you and what he did for us on the cross. We all get red lights, man. All of us have red lights when it comes to pleasing God and ever being pleasing to an almighty, holy, thrice holy God. But because of Christ going before us, now you and I will experience death. But praise be unto God for his Son. We will also experience resurrection and ascension. We get a green light because he took the red light for us. He dealt with our sin on the cross. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on that cross for us, our lives. And so our lives are, okay, I'm going to go to heaven one day, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to get into church. I'm going to be nice to my parents. I'm going to treat my siblings right. I'm going to get grades in school. And God says, red light. Why would he give me a red light? I'm a good person. Well, because we were born wrong. The Bible says, in sin did our mothers conceive us. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know you can pile up all the good deeds you want and it won't be good enough. As a matter of fact, if you could live perfect from this day forward, you still got a lot of sin to answer for, don't you? If you could live perfect from now on, you've still got a whole lot of sin that you have to answer for, and one day you will answer for it. We'll give an account to every deed, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But a great day in my Christian life was when I realized it wasn't about me trying to please him. It was a matter of what he has done on my behalf. You've got to realize that, and realize it at an early age if you can, that we all get red lights. I want you to picture this as we get ready to land. I want you to picture this. All that Jesus saying, follow me, follow me. Then they have this conversation. Hey, you can't follow me. But there's something in Peter that says, I can. And that's the downfall we see in Peter, is his belief in Peter. Right? And you may be even sitting here listening to a preacher preach, and a preacher saying, you can't get to heaven, just you. You're not good enough. And you may have a little of that in you that says, I will. When I stand before God, I've got some things to say to God. You'll say nothing to God. Paul says, we'll stand before him without excuse. You'll have nothing to say to God. No matter what the movies tell you, you'll say, you'll fall on your face as dead as John did in Revelation. So you'll have nothing to say to God. You won't talk God into getting you into heaven. No, God has already made a way for you to go. And who is the way that we should go? The Bible says that God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. So Jesus is our green light, guys. He's the green light. You say, no, Ryan, my green light is I joined a church. You know how many churches I pass in this town? On all my left turns? You know how many churches there are? You say, Ryan, I'm going to join a church. That's how I'm going to get to heaven. Well, which one? Because we got to figure out which one's right. If you're in the wrong church, if this church won't take you to heaven, you better run. Not yet, but you better run later. You say, well, I'm going to give a lot of money. Well, how much? We need to know. You say, well, I'm just going to be a good person. Well, how good? You say, as good as my neighbor? How good are they? You don't know. You say, I'm going to have my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. You don't know how much a good deed weighs. You don't know how much a bad deed weighs. You don't even know where the scales are. You don't know. And what I want to try to free you from is that you could ever in and of yourself get green with God. You can't. And even as Peter boldly proclaimed, I will die for you. Jesus is trying to get Peter to see something I'm trying to get you to see. It is not about what you're willing to do for me, Peter. It's about what I'm willing to do for you. And that is the gospel, guys. The gospel is what he has done for us. I get all red lights, man. All my life have been red lights before God until I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, I'm not kidding you. The first time I genuinely heard the gospel, I was like, I'll take that, man. I went to school the next day. I remember going to school that next summer. I got saved in the summer. I remember going to school, and I was mad at all the FCA kids and the Bible devotion kids. I went in there. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me any. You didn't tell me about Christ. You right by my locker, man. You didn't tell me about Jesus. How's your Bible study going? Right? I was walking right by these guys every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm like, no one told me that I don't have green light with God. No one told me that Jesus is my green light. No one told me that I have access to the Father through Him. Because here's what the enemy does to you, doesn't he? Every time you mess up, doesn't it feel a little, doesn't it? I blew it the other day. First time. That's the first mistake I've ever made. But I blew it the other day. And I blew it and big time I blew it. And isn't it funny how the enemy gets you to sin and then makes you feel guilty because you did? Right? And that rascal drives me crazy. But my biggest problem is in the mirror. I get that. But I messed up and I really blew it. And I thought, man, red light. And then what happens is you don't pray as much, do you? And now you feel like there's, well, I can't approach him now. Listen, you were never more messed up to God than the day before you got saved. So don't let the enemy talk you out of, well, I tried the Jesus thing and it didn't work. Listen, he died in your place because you couldn't go. You can't do it. I'm going to drive back tomorrow and I want you to remember the thought that it's not about what you do for him, because you'll stop. You'll have moments where you won't you? You'll have moments where you're not doing what you should be doing. You'll have moments of road rage. I've seen some of you. You have moments of times when I don't know, I don't feel like I'm doing the right thing. You're not going to. You're going to have moments where you fall and moments when we falter, but it's not about what we've done. I hope you get that tonight, that you're not so distracted by my Buckeye-ness tonight, that you understand that it's not about what you can do. Young person, don't let any preacher ever tell you it's about what you do. It's not. It's about what Christ has done on the cross. And any time you fall into sin, you plead the blood of Jesus and you ask forgiveness for that sin. And you know what happens? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. Do not let anybody tell you, if you've truly been saved and born again, you messed up, now it's red lights all for you, man. It's not. Because Peter said, I'm going to die for you. And Jesus is basically saying, yeah, right, pal. I made some promises to God, and I'm thinking God is saying, yeah, right, Ryan. Why don't you just try to get home first? You can't follow me. He says, not now. I love this in closing, but you will later. Isn't that great? See, if you go without me, boys, it's not going to work out. But if I go first, listen, Jesus Christ was the only one qualified to step in the ring with sin. He's undefeated. Do you know that, right? He's not. I'm talking he would be number one in the polls every week. Never been beat, right? These losses hurt a little more. Now we're in the playoff, right? I'm cheering for you guys because I need you to be highly ranked when we play. That's my only shot. And it's like, okay, now I got to cheer for them. Good one, Satan, right? I got to cheer for that team, and I got to be for that team because rankings are big to us. I'm telling you guys, he's never lost. He's undefeated. He is. And if you will rest in what Jesus has done for you, and don't be so caught up in what you've done for him, the trophies in heaven will be laid at his feet. He's the prize. And so tonight, in closing, what I want to remind you of is that it is about him, isn't it? And what he has done. And you ought to thank God for a church that'll preach you that on Sundays and Wednesdays. You ought to thank God you're able to come in here and hear songs about Jesus. I told Pastor Stephen, I told our youth group, you know what we'll sing? We'll sing about Jesus. I don't want to sing about me anymore. Let's sing about Jesus. May our sermons be of Jesus. May our testimonies be of Jesus. May our bus routes be about Jesus. May our Awana ministry be about Jesus. Why? Our salvation is in Jesus. That's why. All of our green lights with God are because of him. Don't ever think that you have gotten so sanctified now that the church is so glad to have you. And if you ever go, this thing will fall in. Listen, God will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All my green lights. All my green lights with God are because of him. You know, I can go to the hotel tonight and I can hit my knees and pray. And you know why I can do that? Not because I'm a preacher, but because of the cross. That's why. That's why. He gave me access, guys. And I can't thank him enough for that. So it would be wrong of me to say, I'll go. Jesus is like, let me tell you what you're going to do. You see, as I told the teens at the teen conference, if we had a magic remote, we could show everything we're about to do or all the bad stuff in our lives, and we were to put it on the screen back here, we would show your whole life. This is your life. We'd start with Pastor Tracy's. We'd all get popcorn, and we'd watch all the bad stuff Pastor Tracy's done, and we would be like, you know what Pastor Tracy would do? He would run out of here like a little 8-year-old girl crying, right? That's what he would do. And we started to see all the bad things, wouldn't we? And we would be laughing. We'd be like, oh, I can't believe Pastor Tracy's really like that. And then we'd get a little nervous because we would notice we were going down the aisle, and all of a sudden we would realize our movie was coming up. And then it would get a little nerve-wracking, wouldn't it? And you would hope that, you know, the show was going to end before it got to us. Now think about this. All the bad stuff you've ever done, or no one knows about you. Because here's why you'd run out. Because you know you can only really be loved to the point that you're known. Right? And you know that what people saw on that movie would change people's opinion of you. The beauty of the gospel is that Jesus has actually seen the movie about us. And hear me. He still sits in the theater. What he knows about us, listen, hasn't changed his love for us. I'm certain there's a little redheaded girl back in South Point, Ohio that loves me. You know how I know that? Because she knows me. She knows me. And I know she loves me because she really knows me and she's still there. I'm really surprised. I am. What are you doing here? Like, she's still there. Listen, God has seen the movie. And though everybody in here would run out and say, I can't believe they're really like that. God knows what you're really like. And you know what he's given you in Christ? He's given you green lights. Guys, fall before him tonight, not based on what you've done, but based on what he's done. I'd love to hear of revival breaking out here. You know why? Not based on what you've done, based upon what Christ has done. Because that's not changing. Our report cards change, don't they? I'm doing so good now, and it's like crash. Jesus has been the only constant. 33 years, no sin. Amen? It is not about me. It's about Jesus, isn't it? Everybody say red light. Green light.
Green light.
Who gave you the green light? Jesus. Head bowed, eye closed. Eyes closed. Thank you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Now, if you're here tonight and you have never received Christ as your Savior, I hope you understand there's nothing in and of yourself you can do. Sin has separated us from God. We have all red lights. We cannot stand before a holy God because of our sin. And you're here tonight, you say, Ryan, I'll be honest with you, I'm not saved. I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I can't think of any time in my life where I repented of my sins and turned to the cross in faith. Would you hold up your hand and say, pray for me? I've never done that. I'm not going to call you out. Just want to pray for you. Hey, Emmanuel, what about you tonight? Is it possible in your heart you might be reversing the gospel? That's what Peter did. Peter said, Lord, I will for you. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not about what you'll do for me. It's about what I'm getting ready to do for you. And so right now you're here and you say, Ryan, I'm a Christian. Man, there's such frustration with my failures. I just get so frustrated that I fail him over and over and over and over again. Listen, he knew that was going to happen and he saved you anyway. So you're here tonight, you say, Ryan, I'm a Christian, but I need your prayers, man. I just need to thank him for what he has done. Maybe it's been a long time since you've thanked him for what he has done on your behalf. You hold up your hand and say, pray for me, Ryan, I'm a Christian, God bless you. I know I'm saved, God bless you, but I don't want to reverse the gospel. This is a dangerous doctrine to reverse the gospel in your heart. It's very dangerous to dwell on what you're doing because it is not about what we're doing, it's about what he has done. Jesus paid it all is what they're playing right now. So I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I'm going to challenge you tonight to come and maybe for the first time in a long time hit your knees and say, Jesus, thank you for the green light, because it is only by his life and his death and his resurrection that we are able to bow the knee to God. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. As David said, you have inclined your ear to us, God, and we know the only reason heaven hears these words tonight is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for paying it all, God. Help us not to dwell so much on what we will be willing to do for you. For Father, we don't know for sure if we would, but we know for certain that Jesus was willing to go, and he was the only one qualified to go. So God, thank you for the green light. Thank you, God, that one day we'll stand and we'll kneel in heaven based upon who you are. Not our righteousness, but yours alone. Draw us to you tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand, we'll sing a verse. You come tonight. Thank Jesus for what he's done.
I hear the Savior.
God bless you. Come on.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in